Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back for hour number two right here on the early line. Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri. It's time to talk a little Major League Baseball, recapping the day and what took place yesterday across the card. And hey, we'll start with a little bit of Yankees baseball here. One of those teams much maligned throughout the regular season so far. Are they going to hit? They can hit. Will they recover? Can they get some pitching? Make a couple key deadline trade moves here. Anthony Rizzo, Joey Gallo, Andrew Heaney. The Heaney decision looked terrible after two starts, but then he rebounded with a decent decision. But also, the New York Yankees now winners of seven straight and in playoff position here in the wild card to get into the big dance here starting in October. Joe, yesterday, 7-5 win over the Twins. Saw a little bit of everything in this one. Decent pitching performance by Jameson Taillon. Gets a little bit hairy there late, which it seems like that bullpen leaking a little bit of oil with Zach Britton and also with Aroldis Chapman. But a nice win for the Yankees. They keep the momentum moving forward.
So we always knew with the Yankees, right, that they had the ability to score runs in bunch. Very inconsistent offense. We were left scratching our heads all season long going, and when, Yankees? Like, and when do we get judged? They got, you know, 423 COVID situations that they had to get through there. And now all of a sudden after the All-Star break, everyone's starting to point to the Yankees and say, this was the Yankees that we thought we were going to get. The problem is it's not the hitting. It's what this pitching has done here. Heading into that game and tie on, what, the seventh victory in a row now? He's been unbelievable. But heading into yesterday's game, the last 39 games of the Yankees, 34 of the 39, the pitching has allowed three or less earned runs a game. They're giving the bats an opportunity to come through and win some games, and they weren't winning 13-2. They were winning by one or two runs because that pitching staff has shown up and they have shown out, Donnie. If they continue to do that and can get Chapman back in some form, the Yankees are going to be there when it's all said and done, no doubt.
Yeah, it seems like a big payroll finally showing up at the right time here for that surge on the backstretch of the Major League Baseball season. How about on the West Coast last night? The Dodgers, 41 victors over the Mets. The Mets can't seem to get out of their own way. Picked up a nice victory to salvage a game in the series versus the San Francisco Giants, but much more of the same. This team just can't hit. And we're taking a look, Joe Ranieri. You want to beat the Dodgers when? When they're throwing a full bullpen game. We're going to preview in a couple segments here. Walker Buehler is going to be on the mound tonight. Doesn't get any easier. The Mets, 6 hits, 1 run. They lose 4-1, and they continue to drop in the standings here in the NL East.
Listen, man, when your new owner hits Twitter and rips you guys to shreds, things are not going well in Citi Field there and for the Mets. I mean, listen, this has been a stretch that has been unbelievable. It started, what, last weekend there with the Dodgers at Citi Field. Then they had to play the Giants all week. Now they got to play the Dodgers at Chez Ravine. Their owners taking shots at the lineup saying, how could professional hitters be this and that? It's just, it's not going well. And it's also one of the longest stretches here of the season. If they could have gotten or at least played 500, you and I would be having a different conversation about the Mets, but that doesn't appear like it's going to happen.
Exactly. Maybe not appearing or happening, Joe, either. Jacob deGrom getting back to that starting rotation. He could be a savior, but if he's out another couple weeks or maybe doesn't make another appearance, that is going to be certainly tough to handle. Let's welcome in once again the radio audience here, SiriusXM Channel 204, the mightier 1090 in San Diego. Welcome in as we hit some hot topics here in Major League and recap the night that was on Thursday Night Baseball. As we just talked about, the Athletics and the White Sox, a 5-4 victory by the A's, stopping the bleeding, picking up a victory. Cole Irvin in his 20th start. Picks up his 9th victory. Whoo! Deep breath here for the Athletics, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's, listen, one game behind the Yanks. Irvin shows up, shows out. Terrible situation there with Bassett the other night. It just, when it goes wrong, it goes really wrong, and it was good. They needed this win yesterday on the road to avoid the sweep, and they ended up getting it there. And their guys, you know, we talked about it. Olsen, the hero of the day, shows up, shows out when they need him. The big hit at the right time. I'm always amazed with the Oakland A's, Donnie. Every year I look at their win total, and it's like 84 games, 85 games, 82. Like, at what point do we realize the Oakland A's, yes, they're in Oakland, but this is a 90-win baseball team every year. They have been now for how long, Donnie? And continue to be undervalued in many of the markets, but huge win for them yesterday to get back on track.
Certainly Moneyball. Let's also not forget this team in the position after opening up 0-6 to start the baseball season. Ah, Joe, Oakland doesn't have it this year. Wipe them off the board after the first week of the season. Not so fast here. Good baseball organization. Yep. Keep it moving down the list here. Milwaukee and St. Louis. Talk about some key hits. When you get Lars Nootbaar to hit home runs for you, that's definitely a good day here. 8-4 win Cardinals over the Brewers.
Yeah, a game, too, they needed to have to avoid the sweep, and they had to go up against Woodruff, of all pitchers. But they got it done, Donnie. The Cardinals, frustratingly inconsistent, but they got the job done here. We'll see if they can parlay that into any sort of win streak here coming up.
Sure, and we go over the last game. It's no surprise I kept this last here, Joe, because the Philadelphia Phillies took on the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday in the afternoon. Zach Wheeler, their ace on the mound, didn't work out so well. Not because it was Zach Wheeler's fault, as he drops to 10-8 with a 2.77 ERA on the season. It was the fact that Madison Bumgarner turned back the clock to 2013 and absolutely dominated them yesterday. 6-2 final. The Phillies can't get out of their own way. They get swept over from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ugh. We're going to talk about some teams in trouble in the next segment here. And one of those teams will be the Philadelphia Phillies. Stick with us here on The Grid.
We are the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri here on a Friday. And we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. We just recapped the night that we had on Thursday. Now it's time to take a look forward here and particularly focusing on to start here the standings in the wild card races in both the American League and the National League. Joe, let's start with the American League here. As we take a look at the New York Yankees, you know, go back 3 weeks, Yankees were nowhere to be found. Now, all of a sudden, the leaders in the clubhouse in the wild card race after winning 7 straight games, 8 out of their last 10 games, run differential now in the positive at a plus 29. Oakland Athletics, second place here in the wild card after picking up a victory yesterday against the White Sox. Then we have the reeling Red Sox, Seattle Mariners 3 games back, the Toronto Blue Jays 4.5 games back. If we look at the Yankees and the Athletics here, I don't want to say they're sitting on firm ground because the Red Sox are peaking right behind. But as we take a look here in the AL, outside of, say, the Yankees and the Athletics, Joe, is there a team that you think can overcome either the Athletics or the Yankees in making the playoffs, particularly the Red Sox, the Mariners, the Jays, the Angels? Is anybody live behind them? Or do you think, hey, Yankees got it together, Oakland will be fine? Those are the two playoff teams there in the wild card.
Well, it's going to be tough to overtake either the Yankees or Oakland at this point. Although the team there at the bottom that was 4.5 games out is the most intriguing to me, simply because they'll be able to hit with any of the teams that are ahead of them, and that is the Blue Jays, who are very young. They're still figuring it out. Their rotation is certainly solid enough to be able to give those young hitters an opportunity to score enough runs and win some games. So, to me, the dark horse within reason would certainly be the Toronto Blue Jays here, with Mats, with Robbie Ray, with Ryu, with that lineup there, with Springer at the top, provided he can stay healthy. This is a dangerous team. They just haven't learned how to put it together yet. Been a very odd season. Dunedin here in Florida, then Buffalo, and now they're finally at the Rogers Center. I would not sleep on the Toronto Blue Jays, not to mention I believe they still have significant games left with the teams that are ahead of them right now in that race.
Yeah, it was nice to see George Springer getting back, because he missed a good portion of the year injured, then comes back healthy and was a dominant force in that lineup. And that's what you liked about the Blue Jays coming into the season. The pitching mark was a little bit of a question, but you pick up Barrios at the trade deadline. You have a formidable 1-2-3 punch now when they're all healthy and pitching well, coupled by a really good lineup behind them. So you're right. 4.5 back, it seems like a lot, but you do have to catch one of two teams. And it's not as if, as we take a look in just a few moments here with the NL, where you have the Dodgers, 9.5 game lead in the wild card race. Those two spots are still up for grabs between the Yankees and the Oakland Athletics. So a lot more to do there. Obviously, the Boston Red Sox, we'll talk about them in just a few moments. So let's transition over and just get a nice little look here at the National League, because it looks like at least one of those wild card spots is going to be occupied out there in the NL West, and that's the Dodgers with a 9.5 game lead here as we sit on August the 20th here to make a playoff run. The Dodgers get into the playoffs? Absolutely. You know who's in second place there in the wild card? The San Diego Padres, also an NL West team. Leaking a little bit of oil right behind them, the Cincinnati Reds, the St. Louis Cardinals at 3.5 games. Schedule eases up for them just a few weeks ahead of time. The Philadelphia Phillies at 5 games and the Mets at 6 games back. Looking at the NL East here, obviously the Padres are going to be in play. The Dodgers probably not, but it's up to those Cincinnati Reds, it looks like, in that stronghold. Or maybe, are we going to get a fight out of the St. Louis Cardinals here, Joe, in the NL?
Well, they got Miles Mikolas back here tonight. Finally, he's back on the mound, so he's going to give it a go. But this is, they're one of the most inconsistent teams on that board, especially offensively. But they've also gone through unbelievable injuries to the starting rotation throughout the year. They actually had to go out and get John Lester. 400-year-old John Lester was the move that they made, because that's how bad it is. Yeah, Hap. But at least, listen, Hap has played very, he's pitched very, very well. But now they got Flaherty back. Now they got Mikolas back here tonight. Yes, the Cardinals are a team absolutely capable of making some noise if they can get on a roll. But it's funny how it positions where the two teams at the top are in the West, the two next teams are the Central, and then those two bottom teams there, Philadelphia and the Mets from the East, which... they are just a ball of inconsistency here. I think the Reds or the Cardinals are going to be that one team. We know the Reds can hit. That bullpen is a hot garbage. So the only team left is the Cardinals, I think, that really have, if they can put it together and make a run 3.5 games back right now, I think it was. The Cardinals are the team getting healthier, maybe at the right time, starting to hit the ball. And what they did, if that team can show up that showed up last night against Brandon Woodruff, if that team can continue to show up here, the Cardinals, I don't trust the Padres. Their pitching's a hot mess with Yu Darvish on the I don't trust that bullpen. Yes, Tatis can hit, but if something happens to him, guys, how many runs are the Padres scoring here, Donnie, exactly, without him in the lineup?
So true on that, because when you take a look at what San Diego did, primarily in the offseason, wait a second, you got Yu Darvish and Snell as your 1-2 punch. With that lineup, they're going to do a lot of damage. It certainly hasn't worked out that way. So we like to take a look at some of these teams leaking oil, per se, or in trouble. There's a few of them out there. If we're taking a look at the American League, it's got to be the Boston Red Sox at this point, because a lot of this has to be, look, they're still 69-54, which if you asked a Boston Red Sox fan or their front office before the season, Joe, August the 20th, we're going to have that record. They would take it each and every time because they didn't know what they had in their baseball team. Now, maybe they're putting a lot of eggs in the basket of Chris Sale coming back and being healthy and dominant, along with Kyle Schwarber, a deadline acquisition, finally being healthy as it looks now. But this team was in full control of the division and the playoff race, no longer the case right now. And then if we flip it over to the National League, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Padres, particularly taking a look at the NL East teams. Look at the Mets. The same way we talked about the Boston Red Sox being in control of the AL East, the same control was had from the New York Mets in the NL East, a minus 400, a minus 500 favorite just a few short weeks ago. I take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now here, Joe. The Mets are a plus 600 now to win the division, let alone get into the playoffs. Those teams right now better turn it around quickly because you're looking at the Phillies on a soft part of their schedule, losing in a series and getting swept by the Diamondbacks. And now the Mets, vice versa, going through the toughest stretch. They're not even performing at all right now, Joe.
Yeah. Now, and listen, this was it's a tough stretch here for the Mets. You know, who've had to deal with the two best teams in Major League Baseball here over the last 10 days between the Dodgers and the Giants and you know, Padres. You go through it. The Mets, from a litmus test standpoint, I think they learned a lot about themselves. Certainly ownership did, and certainly better, as I hope you're paying attention to what's going on here with the Mets team. Without DeGrom, that one spark plug, that one stopgap that you know, and let's face it, right? You know when DeGrom is going to pitch every, you know, fifth day or so, you're going to have an opportunity to win a game. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And I don't know that he's coming back anytime soon, which also means that I don't think the Mets' chances of advancing in any postseason this year are going to improve anytime soon either.
Joe, both myself and Kevin Walsh joked about a month ago, and you know, maybe it was a tale of what was going to take place shortly. If Jacob DeGrom doesn't throw another pitch, he's the Cy Young Award winner. That obviously is no longer the case at this point, particularly with the odds makers here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He was as high as a minus 1,000 while still being injured. Now sits today at plus 4,500, and we don't know if he's coming back at all. So a precipitative drop there, obviously, in the numbers. Quickly here, Lance Lynn, Gerrit Cole, Rodon, the leaders in the clubhouse right now in the American League, Zach Wheeler, Corbin Burns, Walker Buehler in the NL. Quick thoughts here on the Cy Young race, and maybe who you think is going to win possibly with the AL and the NL here, Joe.
Yeah, well, listen, it's any one of those guys, and Ohtani at 22-1 is interesting, but I can't believe what Robbie Ray has done this year. Kudos to the pitching coaches there in Toronto. I like Lance Lynn, and I still like DeGrom. Doesn't make a difference. None of those guys are better than he is on a good day.
I love it. Give me that DeGrom money plus 4,500 if he comes back in September and dominates. We're heading towards the weekend here. It's Friday. We already talked the NFL card. We're going to hit the weekend card here, try to find some spots and have some fun in the NFL coming up next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the show, The Early Line here on a Friday. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri carrying you through. It's time to talk some NFL action on the weekend. But before we do that, you got to know where to be kept up to date here on social media. We got you covered right here on the Sports Grid Network at Sports Grid TV, along with at Sports Grid. Give us a follow here. Get all up-to-date information, clips, videos from the shows that we do, hot takes, and much, much more. Once again, on Twitter, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. The NFL weekend, we previewed the games here, Joe, for Friday night between Kansas City and Arizona, Cincinnati and Washington. We got a full slate on Saturday. How about this? Two games also on Sunday, including a Sunday night football game and also Monday night. But I guess catching most of the attention here so far is the ascendance of Justin Fields. Now, why do I say that? Because apparently everybody missed out, Joe, and the Super Bowl is right in the cusp of the hands of the Chicago Bears fan. Now, kidding a little bit here, but the fervor to start the first game for the Chicago Bears, the fans want Fields. Maybe the ownership wants Fields. Maybe the coaching staff doesn't want Fields. But you know who doesn't want him in the starting lineup? Andy Dalton. What did he say this past week here? Hey, look, kid's really good. My time, Joe. My time. Let's talk a little bit about that game coming up here between the Bills and the Bears Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, listen, the Bears fans are falling into that trap, right? It's what we get with these blue blood towns, right? These blue blood franchises where they always think they're just one player away, right? It's always been Trubisky's fault, right? So it was always, it just wasn't a good fit. While Nagy is not a great coach, but now Nagy all of a sudden is a great coach here because Justin Fields is behind center. Just stop it, guys. I saw a kid, a rookie out of Ohio State that lit up the second, third, and fourth stringers there in week number one. All right, stop it. The Bears themselves did not look great against the starters there last week against the Miami Dolphins. So, having said that, you're not going to have any easier time against the Buffalo Bills team, who I believe we're going to see, if I'm not right, we're going to see Josh Allen for a couple of snaps with some of the starters there. But Davis Webb, I mean, look at what he did last week behind center there. He had 90 yards. He rushed for a couple, had a couple of touchdowns. This is not going to get easier for Chicago here. While Justin Fields certainly looked the part in preseason against the backups, I am not necessarily sure that they're going to be able to get it done against this Buffalo Bills team that has, make no mistake about it, Super Bowl aspirations. And they literally are a play or a player away from taking that next leap there to compete against Patrick Mahomes. So it's not going to be easy tonight for Chicago. I would just temper expectations, Bears fans, right now.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch also the line movement in this football game here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You're taking a look at an opening line here towards the Buffalo Bills at -1 at -100. Now we're seeing here in New Jersey at the FanDuel Sportsbook a -4.5. So big line movement here. 37.5 is an opening total. That goes up to 38. I do like, if there's an angle I like to play, Joe, in the preseason, it is when you have a quarterback battle, because it means usually the coaching staff is going to give equal opportunity to both players to make plays where, you know, Andy Dalton starts the game, doesn't hand off 12 straight plays and sits on the bench, and then Justin Fields has two quarters to run the best of the playbook here. So I do agree with the line movement a little bit, but jumping that much here, and also you make a good point as well. You're talking about a head football coach of the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott. Let's keep in mind, he's an Andy Reid disciple. You know he's already mapped out on how Andy Reid likes to do his preseason. He's learned that fashion, and quite frankly, that's why you're successful from learning from the other coaches in the league that you've worked under. So maybe a similar scenario. I don't agree with that big of a line move, but it'll be interesting to see 1 o'clock on that football field, because the Bears fans that will pack Soldier Field certainly going to be rooting on Justin Fields, and it seems like the only guy left in the room who feels like he should be the starter in Chicago is Andy Dalton. Saturday Night Football here, the Texans and the Cowboys. The reason I bring this one up is the reason why I like to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington football team. Similarities here. When you're looking at bad PR in the offseason, you can't get any worse PR here, Joe, than the Houston Texans and what they're going through. Deshaun Watson probably never going to play again. You had some turmoil in the front office who's actually pulling the strings in this environment. And oh yeah, you're winding up with what looks to be a bad product on the field. So if you can't win, Joe, in the regular season, how about winning here in the preseason? The Cowboys favored by 3.5, money line -170 with a total of 37. How about this one? Battle of Texas.
Yes, so listen, Houston did get a win last week, which shocked everybody against Green Bay, right? But you also have a Dallas team coming into here that has not looked good. They're already 0-2. And we're already at the point in the season here, Donnie, where Jerry is already, he can't stop himself. He's already screaming and yelling and making comments. And we're two games into the preseason for them. So the line movement has been interesting in this one as well. 3.5's out there. I've seen it even pushed to 4. And I do think the value obviously lies on the Texans. Anything at 4 or more, I'll be back in the Texans in this game tonight. Because, listen, say what you want. It's much like the quarterback situation when you have a competition. Well, everybody in Houston right now is competing for a starting spot. So you generally get really inspired efforts from a bunch of guys trying to make a name, trying to get that contract. And that's what we're going to be dealing with. And we all know when it comes to stress, how much Jerry puts on his Cowboys. I don't know that they're going to be up to the task. They certainly weren't the first two times around, but I think late in this game, if you are getting points, especially more than three, I think you're sitting in the driver's seat as far as value goes on a Houston Texans.
Yeah, it should be interesting. We're not getting the Hard Knocks bump here on the betting line, as we see opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -3.5, still sits at 3.5. Quick thought on this, looking forward to the regular season. You take a look at Dak Prescott. Obviously, he's not going to play in this game. Telling reporters he thinks he's going to be ready for game one against Tampa Bay. Are you worried about Dak Prescott heading into the season? Is this like, hey, just get the guy right, he'll be fine on opening day?
I'm very worried about him because, once again, we're seeing a Dallas Cowboys team with life outside of Dak, right? It hasn't looked. Does it look good to you, Donnie? Because to me, I've watched that one.
Ben DiNucci, baby.
So, it's, you know, like, so this is the problem. So, yes, I am very worried because I have no faith in what a Dallas Cowboys team looks like without him being that leader on the offensive side. So they didn't do an awful lot to address that. You got the best wide receivers, young talent in the league, right? I mean, there is what those guys can do on the outside. You got Zeke. You've got the makings of a quality team. But if Dak ain't controlling and what's happening on that offense, I have no faith in the Dallas Cowboys here in a division that they should run away with but probably won't.
Yeah. You're exactly correct. Because as soon as I heard, you know, Dak Prescott's going to be healthy, this was a couple months ago, I said they have the best quarterback in the division. That's usually the way I would lead. But there's a lot more question marks I'm getting out of the Dallas Cowboys than actual answers. Saturday Night Football, Denver and Seattle. The reason that this game is interesting to me, number one, the line movement here. FanDuel opened up as a -1.5-point favorite here towards the Denver Broncos. They are on the road in Seattle. They now sit at a -5.5, so big line movement. And again, one of those situations, there's no quarterback battle out there in Seattle. How long is Russell Wilson going to play? But you do have a battle for the starting position with the Denver Broncos between Drew Luck and Teddy Bridgewater. Taking a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, there are odds to be the week one starter here for the Denver Broncos. And Vic Fangio a little bit early in the week saying we're very close to making a decision on who that starter is going to be. Joe, we're seeing Drew Luck a -200 favorite here to start week one. Teddy Bridgewater +160. Both of these guys will fight it out. Do you think that gives an added advantage here to Denver, even though they're laying close to a touchdown now in this ball game?
You know, I love the wild line swings that we get. You mentioned it, FanDuel, right? -1. Now we're at 5, 5.5, and it's crazy. And you see that during the preseason because it's one of the only times of the year, Donnie, where the sharps are sharper than the books. And the books are actually playing catch-up right now, right? Because they just don't have the means with all to, they think it is, but once they see that sharp money coming in, they're reacting big time. And that's why you're seeing, you know, FanDuel go from -1 to -5.5, go, what just happened? Well, the smart money came in, and that's what happened there. And listen, it's, to me, it's really weird to see a road team lying that big a number here. But you mentioned quarterback battles. None bigger than what we're looking at right here, right? And those two guys, they showed up and showed out in week one at Denver. And I think that is going to continue here. I think Seattle and Pete Carroll are one of these teams, a lot of veterans, veteran quarterback, where they're just trying to bide enough time to get to the regulars, right? Let's get to week one here, Donnie. Let's not get anything crazy. Let's not do nothing here. Let's just, you know, let's go through the motions, get to week one. And meanwhile, you've got a Denver team here who's trying to figure out who the quarterback is. Vic Fangio's got guys competing. So I understand it. It's a little weird to see that big a number there for a road team, but I get it. Seattle's never an easy place to play, but I think this one's rather easy. It's Denver or not for me.
Exactly. Probably looking at Seattle, you know, heavily into the game plan for the Indianapolis Colts, particularly on offense, worrying about which three quarterbacks might start against them. So maybe eyes on the prize in the future. Quickly, we'll hit the San Francisco Los Angeles Chargers game. And the reason we bring this up once again, 2.5, we open on the FanDuel Sportsbook up to 5.5. Why? So we got a quarterback battle, or at least we think there's a quarterback battle, Joe, out in the Bay Area.
Yeah, to me, I think this is going to be very interesting. We're going to learn a lot about Trey Lance and Shanahan and what they think here in this one. I would not doubt them because I don't think we're going to see the people you think you're going to see for the Chargers on the field.
Yep, we'll learn a lot from the 49ers, but also we're going to learn a lot from Dave Sharapan, the sports book consigliere, that's going to join us next and talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. And as he says, nobody knows nothing. We're coming right back here on The Grid.
There's a
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the grid here with the Early Line Friday morning edition. Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri having some fun talking NFL, Major League Baseball. But the guest of the hour coming to you live, the bright lights of the West Coast here. That is the sports book consigliere, Dave Sharapan. Good morning, David.
Boys, good morning. just happy to be here, Donnie. Just happy to be here.
He's happy to be here so he doesn't get fined, Joe Ranieri. Talk a little Major League Baseball in the morning. But before we get there, Dave, I love the fact that you're coming on at this time. We were just talking about some NFL huge line moves here in the preseason. But as you say, which I've said multiple times this morning, Dave, nobody knows nothing. Case in point yesterday, Philadelphia Eagles, New England Patriots, Patriots favorite all week. The day of the game, the Eagles flipped to a favorite only for none of their starters to play, Dave. Thoughts?
Hey. It's there's so many things that we see with the line moves when you're on the book side of the counter. On the other side of the counter, we see the lines move and have no idea why. We see things, sometimes I say we see ghosts, and you see them on the book side of the counter too. There's no rhyme or reason sometimes to why a line moves. And there's definitely not a reason to bet something because a line moves. I'm telling you, I've seen it for years. The line may move. Listen, I used to move lines while we're sitting at lunch just to see if anybody was paying attention. Literally used to just see. I said, you know what? I wonder if anybody's doing anything. Let's go to 4 on this game. And 6 books would move to 4, like because I did. So I'm just telling you the truth. That happened. I can't even make that up. That 100% happened. And so, yeah, be careful about those line moves, Donnie. You know that.
Exactly. What do you think about that, Joe? You know, pushing the numbers around. I mean, Joe's one of the guys pushing those numbers around, Dave. So, you know.
Joe's pushing numbers.
It's interesting. Let me first things first, Sharapan. Did you get the license plate of the truck that ran you over here this morning? Number two, I was just talking about this and
Woke up.
You all right? Not a problem. but I do want to. I was just talking to Donnie about the wild swings in the preseason games that we're seeing, and it's one of the only times of the year, especially during football, that. The bettors and the books are kind of on equal footing. It's certainly the smart money, because smart money comes in. It's smarter than the books right now in preseason football, a lot of situations, which is why we're seeing 4.5, 5-point line moves in these lines in the preseason. We would never see that week 1 in the NFL.
Well, no, the smart money was all over the Eagles last night. You know what I'm saying? Like, the smart money doesn't know anything either, be perfectly honest. The smart money is not always smart. The smart money moves numbers because they bet, you know, and they bet it last night. And I think, you know, Joe, you have to move the number to try to get a bet on the other side. And there's not enough people betting the preseason, so you got to, like, be aggressive moving the numbers. So, like, last night, you know, somebody, you know, Joe Ranieri bets the Eagles. They go, okay, we got to move it. Well, now someone else bets it, and you completely have to flip it, whatever happens, because nobody's betting the other side. You know, you never see this. Well, not, it's not true, because at the end of the NFL season, you see big line movements like this because it runs out. Later in the season, you don't have as much, I guess, liquidity in the market. People run out of money, Christmas time, whatever. Like December, the line moves look different than September. September, you just don't see – you never see these kind of moves in the NFL. You know where you see this, Joe, I think, is in like the smaller conference college football. You know, you can see a line move. You know what I mean, like from 4 to 6 – or, you know, for you, there's no key numbers in college, so you can go from 5 to 7, something like that. This preseason is an interesting market with these line moves, because you're sitting there and you go, oh no, these guys just bet the Eagles. What do we do? We'll move it 2 points. Maybe see if we can get it bet on the other side. The decisions for the books are big because it's usually one-sided action.
It's definitely interesting stuff. I joked earlier about the MAC football conference. You got that feel last night from the Philadelphia Eagles, where the quarterback warms up and then comes out in a hoodie. Like, what is going on here? I thought this guy was going to start the game. But as we said that, I saw you earlier this week on the network here on the morning after, sporting a New York Yankees lid. Is it any surprise that they are red hot and on fire? 7 straight games. Major League Baseball tonight. The Twins invade the Bronx. Barnes on the lefty on the mound versus Nestor Cortez, the lefty. The Yankee tax -240. Seems like old times, Dave. Good to get the Yankees back in that $2.50 range again.
It's going to be every day until they lose. I just went back and I was doing it last night. They're on a 7-game winning streak. The Dodgers are on a 7-game winning streak. When the Yankees and the Dodgers win on the same day, I used to have guys come in the book and say, just give me a 2-team parlay, Yankees and Dodgers. You know, when teams start to get hot, they just bet them like that. So I put on the Yankee hat like 7 days ago. I did a couple shows. I put the Yankee hat on and they started winning. So this is why. Then I heard Joe was guest hosting for K-Dub today. And I know Joe's a Yankee guy. I didn't realize how many people are Yankee guys. There's a lot of people that are Yankee guys, not just on the network, but all over. I wore this hat. I had people coming at me like, Dave, what are you doing? I'm like, look, the Yankees, you can't beat them. Join them. So I started wearing a hat. So I had to come on today and see. Like, I wore this yesterday, you know, with Dane and Wenzel and everybody. And the Yankees still won. So I'm trying everything I can. Some a listener sent me the Red Sox hat and said, Dave, stop wearing the Yankee hat. Because I guess I buried the Red Sox when I did that. And that's what the Yankees are doing to the Red Sox right now and everybody else. They have an offensive line for an infield. They have a bigger offensive line than the Jets, like playing the infield and DHing when Voit DHs. It's pretty impressive, but yeah, Donnie, they're justified being a. I mean, what's this line going to close? You want to talk about line moves? The Yankees are going to close $3. It's early enough in the morning. Ain't nobody bet it yet. We're going to sit in the books all day everywhere and take bets on the Twins? No. The Dodgers were TBD against the Pirates a couple days this week. To be determined, they were -$3. The Yankees should have been -$3 even with Cortez on the mound.
Yeah, it's one of the other – I know it's so funny, Donnie, because the Yankees, they're overvalued to begin with every day, every game. It don't make a difference. But now that they're actually winning, it's even worse. Yeah. It's even worse. Dodgers are the same way. But one team that is certainly not overvalued here, Dave, is a team that's put together a hell of a streak here. In fact, I believe 15 losses in a row is what the Baltimore Orioles have now, going up against the Atlanta Braves, who are one of the hottest teams. They've won, what, 9 out of their last 10 overall. We know what a mess the National League East is, but let's be realistic here. The Braves seem to be just heads and tails at this particular point above the Phillies and the Mets and the Orioles. They might not win another game. They got to beat Max Fried here tonight. Do you see them doing it at all?
No. I mean, at some point, the Orioles are going to win another game this season. It ain't going to be today. I mean, it would be very surprising if it's today. But at what point do you bet them, Joe? Like, you know,
I don't know.
I mean, you know, every old school bookmaker that I know, wise guy that I know, they say to bet the streaks. And once you get to four in a baseball streak, win or lose, that's a streak. So you bet it until it loses. I mean, you're only wrong once, but you could be right on a streak. If you picked up Baltimore at the minus, you know, at the minus four, it's 15 games. It's 11 in a row. I mean, you could bet on anything right now if you bet that. So you're going to tell me today's the day that Baltimore's going to win. I'm going to tell you, come up to the window, place the bet. Let's go because I'm going to take my chances that they're going to lose 20. That's all. I mean, like, I don't know where it stops, but they're the worst team in baseball. But there's some bad teams. I mean, there's some bad teams. But Atlanta, if you'd have told me at any point within the last month that Atlanta was going to be a minus 250 favorite on the road, with Fried starting, I'd have said, yep, I'm taking the dog. So, I mean, that's too much, but I bet Baltimore. There's no chance.
Yeah, who's waking up in the morning saying, you know what, Baltimore is the right play today? Because you're taking a look in that small ballpark. It's probably going to be muggy conditions. You're going to have Freddie Freeman, probably the only lefty in the lineup. They're going to stack right-handed bats. And, oh, yeah, they're going to get a full nine at-bats against that starting pitching.
How to spot a sports gaming loser.
They blame their losses on luck. We believe in information and strategy.
But we call it the winning edge for short.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Majors there on some totals, but as we flip over to a game that has a price of minus 260 at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, talking about the Atlanta Braves and the Baltimore Orioles, how about this one tonight? Down there in the Trop, White Sox, Rays, Giolito, Waka, 126 here, up from 118 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, nines across the board. That's a good game here. It's a couple first-place teams, Dave.
Little playoff preview. No, this is a good game. So for as much junk as there may be on the board, and I just use that term loosely, it's between bad teams or a good team and a bad team like Atlanta, Baltimore, you got a little playoff preview. This eye-opener to me, which, again, I just opened my eyes right before, you know, the call here, is the White Sox are favored at Tampa. Tampa is the American League version of the Giants, where odds makers just refuse to believe that they're a good baseball team. Not that they refuse to believe, just in the numbers. Like, how can Tampa be a dog at home? They're leading the American League East by 4 or 5 games. Yankees are coming, boys. The Yankees are coming. But it's surprising to me, but it's not. If this was a playoff game, it would be more surprising. It would be like an automatic play on Tampa. Automatic. Right now, Michael Walker, Giolito. I don't know. The first thing that pops to me is the over, right? I think the number's like maybe too low. I don't know. That's the first thing that I see when I see that. But at least we got one good baseball game between two good teams that has standings ramifications. That's all you want as the book right now. Just give me two legit teams so I don't have to sit and take these bets on Atlanta, the Yankees, and hope and pray for bad teams.
Yeah, Walk has been terrible, too, since the All-Star break. He's got over an 8 ERA. So anything in the first five leaning towards Chicago is probably the way to look at this one here. But what about the Battle of the Bays here tonight? We've got Oakland taking on the Giants, and we'll talk about it, Donnie, when we come back here, because if somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose there. Both of those teams necessarily need to win here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's another good game. Preview. Go ahead, Donnie. Take it to the break. Thanks for having me.
Previewing it up
Donnie,
tonight. On the radio. Tonight, you will be on with us, Dave Sharapan. So I can't wait to get some action on the radio, ready to rock and roll. We'll go over each and every one of these games. Stay with the grid here. We'll be back for the final segment on The Early Line.
You're listening to the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day right here on the early line. Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri, getting you prepped and ready for the weekend before we hand it off to the morning after with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. Three important games on the card tonight. Late night, Joe. San Francisco, Oakland, the New York Mets, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the San Diego Padres. Some heavy favorites across the board. Looks like the Dodgers, minus 265, minus 270 here, going up against the New York Mets. And Blake Snell, who struggled. He's a minus 230 favorite over the Philadelphia Phillies. What are you looking at tonight in these matchups late night for baseball?
I love the battle in the Bay there with the Giants and Oakland. I think it's going to be a great game, but I got to give the edge to the Giants. Oakland had that big come from behind win yesterday on the road in Chicago. That was a late afternoon game, too. So hop on. Now they got to host a well-rested Giants team who had the day off. So I kind of like the Giants and Alex Wood in this spot to get the job done at a pretty decent price, too, at right around that minus 120 mark. So I think that's going to be the game of the night, too, but I expect the Giants to come out on top.
Yeah, it should be an interesting night here. I mean, the Phillies look at the stop of skid, but also technically the San Diego Padres as well. That number jumps out on the card, a plus 190 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Philadelphia Phillies. Matt Moore, usually not a very good pitcher, but had a very good outing his last time out. And Walker Buehler stepping up here on the bump to go against the Mets. That's a heavy favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 270 with a total of 8.5. A lot of football this weekend on the card, Joe. What are you looking at this weekend to do? Any games you're watching? What do you got planned over there?
I think it's a lot of baseball, obviously. I'm going to be watching for which teams have starters playing this weekend, Donnie, and which ones don't, because I do think over the next couple of weeks, those teams that starters didn't sniff the field might be an interesting play there in week one or two when the season comes along.
That should be interesting stuff to watch. Watching baseball, little football, quarterback battles. We got it all here, but the action never stops here on the Sports Grid Network. The morning after follows us from 9 to 12. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens got you covered. Great guest, action-packed show. That'll do it today for the early line. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Joe Ranieri, thanks for tuning in on the Sports Grid Network. See you again on Monday.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't. And wish you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.